Jesus Christ, our Savior. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. I am so glad today to have given this opportunity by the Most High God to come together and assemble with you. As I have given you notes in the host here of your platform, to please excuse us today as we are acquainting ourselves with our new platform. It's new to us, but we are continuously looking for ways to present the gospel of Jesus Christ with the spirit of excellence. I believe that God gives us his best, and we should give him our best. Today is just a wonderful day, and I want you, wherever you are now, as we are here, we want you to invoke the spirit of worship. We have always known that our relationship with God exceeds the attendance in some building, sitting in some certain chair at some specific time. But our relationship with God is wherever the Spirit of God is. The Lord says, if you assemble, I will be one in the midst. I am so glad today that God has given us this opportunity in disconnected times to stay connected in this manner. I'm going to move now to the Word of God as you get your Bibles, and you will find them if you are on Nation Harvest Online Church, or if you are at NHTV, you'll find the Bible platform there available to you without having to gather your traditional Bibles, but be it your traditional paper Bible or your digital script, just draw it near to you. I want to take this time to say Merry Christmas to everyone. As this is the final countdown to Christmas Day, very celebratory time, time to make practical all of the things that God made available to us that has to do with joy, family, peace. The other things, as we've gone through time, the shopping and the lights and the clamor, is all a fun part. And I believe that this tradition is good because it helps our children to have something to exhale after a long year of school and home activities and homework. And I wouldn't want to rob them by getting up today and dogmatize the way that we traditionally do our shopping, gift giving, because this is good too. However, I think that the most important part is to keep everything in its perspective. And let us not forget that when you've done all of that, that the reason that this celebration is because of the birth of the Son of the Living God. It does not matter what day it actually was, as long as we celebrate his birth, because our very salvation rests upon the birth, the life, the death and the resurrection of Jesus, our Savior. He is the Messiah, Emmanuel, God among us. If you would look with me to St. John's Gospel, chapter 11 would be much better. St. John's Gospel, chapter 11. It's what we call a familiar passage of Scripture. And sometimes familiar is what we know about a thing on the surface, so it's familiar in that we know it's in the Gospel of John and we've heard it before. But then at other times, as you dig into it, what was familiar becomes a little unfamiliar. Then you got to call for the Holy Spirit to help you dissect from the Word of God. But in St. John chapter 11, verse number 1, Lazarus was sick in Bethany. And John, the gospel writer, is very careful to tell us it was the town of Mary and her sister Martha. In verse number 2, if you would notice, John, the writer, emphasizes that there is a very special relationship between Jesus and this family, because it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. He is emphasizing to make sure that we understand clearly that this is not just any person. John wants us to see that there is a very reciprocating relationship between Mary with Martha and with Lazarus and Jesus. Now, in verse number 3, therefore his sisters sent unto him, therefore, suggests a conclusion based on the relationship that is evident here that Jesus has with this wonderful little group. Therefore is the same as saying, based on their relationship, these people have a right to send for Jesus. Therefore, based on that relationship, she reaches out to him and says, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, and I'm going to give all of this to John, the way that John writes this, because John's focus is always on Jesus. John never makes himself the center of attention in his writings, but he places all of his focus on Jesus. So John is trying to tell us that if Jesus should have gone to see anybody, he should have hurried down to see Lazarus. He should have, if he's going to go anywhere today, based on his relationship with these people, he should have gotten in a hurry to go to see Lazarus. But then he says in verse number 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, in verse number 5, John reiterates, Jesus Martha and her sister and Lazarus. But what I can understand, as the emphasis is placed on Jesus' love for them, is why is Jesus moving so slow? Why is he moving so slow about responding to a cry from a group of people that he has this reciprocating relationship with? They pour into him when he's there. He pours into them when he's there. He's a little slow about it. We know that he's got all power. We know that he is a healer. Verse number 6, when he had heard this, therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. He hadn't moved at all. Can you imagine sending a word to me as being your pastor and telling me that somebody in your family just died? This wouldn't work for me because I would just totally get some bad things said about me if I took my time, because we, you know, when it comes to death, we want the pastor to be there the day before, as though he was supposed to know it. And Jesus, I just can't see myself doing this. Verse number 7. Then after that, he said, let us go unto Judea. 2 days later. Of course, he was having a little problem in Judea at the time, and the disciples weren't too quick on him going up there, because he knew that they were seeking to stone him. But verse number 11, he informs his disciples, and he says, fellas, we got to go. Our friend Lazarus, verse number 11, sleepeth. But I go that I may wake him out of his sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he's doing a good thing. But Jesus, of course, was speaking about Lazarus being dead. Verse number 14, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad. Well, wait a minute. Maybe I'm a little dyslexic here. Did I just read that right? Let me look. Verse number 14. Lazarus dead. And I am glad. That's what I see. Lazarus is dead. I am glad. Now, he loves these people. They have been waiting for him patiently, and he has not moved. And then he says, Lazarus is dead for your sakes, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. He goes, and of course, continue to read down the verses with me. Martha meets him, and as he comes, which could be interpreted that Martha may be a little bit angry, because when a sister leaves the house to meet you before you get to the house, she needs to have a talk with you. And she wants to have a talk with Jesus privately. And what I want to suggest here out of the context is that she wants to meet him on the way, because she don't want to talk to him in front of folks. She respects him too much. So I'm going to meet him along the way. And I want to know, when I meet him, why didn't you come when I called? Because if you had have been here, my brother Lazarus had not died. That's what Martha said. She said, if you had been here, my brother Lazarus had not died. Wrong. Lazarus was going to die. that's a big amen. That's right where you say amen. Lazarus was going to die. So Mary tries to soften the conversation a little bit in verse number 22. She says, okay, I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Verse number 24, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Verse number 34, Jesus went on and said, where have you laid him? 39, Jesus says, take the stone away. Verse number 43, and when he thus had spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. My subject today, after reading and you staying with me so patiently through this extended pericope text, is God has a word for your situation. You might want to recite that to yourself. God has a word for your situation. Now say this out to yourself out loud, or say it to somebody that's sitting in the room with you. Come forth. I need everybody that can hear my voice. Hear me when I say today, God has a word for whatever you're going through. And you are coming out of it. Speak that over yourself. I'm coming out of it. Because God has a word for my situation. I'm coming forth. I would like to point out that God given us this word is to make sure that we have an unquestionable concept of Jesus. The entire book of John is an extraordinary, Christocentric presentation. I said to you earlier that everything that John writes in the entire Gospel of John is centered around the person of Jesus. Extraordinarily Christocentric. Everything is about Jesus. John presents Jesus in such a manner that he tells us, without God's communication to us, we are doomed. Because if God does not speak to us, there is absolutely no way for us to get out of any circumstance or situation that we find ourselves in. God has to speak to us. So John's presentation is so that the believer individually can know the importance of being able to communicate with God, because without communication, he is doomed. And so John, what he does is he presents the word of God in three forms. He opens in the very first book, in the first chapter, in the first verse, by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, in John sending the message of Jesus in John 1 and 1, the word mentioned is our introduction to the first form, which is the Logos. Logos denotes the expression of thought. So when you speak of the Logos, the word that was with God, the Logos, the word that was God, you're speaking about the word that was actually thought. The word that was emanated out of the mind of God. In the beginning was the Logos, the thought, because before you can have a word, you have to have a thinker, because a thinker is the one who gives a thought. And in John 1:1, the thinker is God. The Logos is the representation of the thought of God. In the beginning was God's thought. He is the thinker. He is the thinker. He is the creator here. You cannot see his thought. So that means that the Logos does not only suggest that it is the process of the unseen, but it also suggests that the word in the beginning was spirit. Yes. The Logos in the beginning was the word, not the written word, not the incarnate word, but in the beginning was the Logos, was the thought. God, the great thinker, you cannot see his thought, but God presents Jesus in the form of the word, which is spirit. You cannot separate God from his thinking. No, you cannot separate God from his thinking, from who he is, because he is what he thinks. Because Logos is complete deity. Stay with me now. Inside the Logos, inside God's thought, inside God's process of thought, the spirit, the very presence of God, when you hear the sentence, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made, you're seeing also that the Logos has the ability, God's thought has the ability to create. If there's a thought and the thought wants to reveal itself, then if the thought wants to manifest itself, then in order for it to manifest itself, then the word must create. Oh my God, this is, help me here, Holy Ghost. You see, in the canyons of eternity, God is all by himself, because he is a self-existing God. He does not need you to testify of his existence. He does not need you to denounce his existence in order for him to exist, because in the canyons of eternity, God by himself, he knows himself, and he does not need to manifest himself to himself. Yes, that's right. So if God is going to show himself, he has to first make something to show himself to. Oh God, I feel good about this now. I'm feeling real excited about this. So now, when I have the Logos, not only do I have spirit, but when I have Logos, I have also the ability to create. Because if God is going to manifest or show himself, then he has to create something to show himself to. So Logos then is with God. His thought is with him. Logos is God. And when I think about this, I want to tell y'all today that There is no marketing agency. There is no political power. There is no global authority that can market God. No, Lord. God has to market his own self. He has to let the world know who he is. So wherever you see logos, God's word in spirit, then you see creation. Because God says, when you come to know who I am, you will not choose me, but I will choose you. Because it is I who created you to reveal myself to you. So everybody now, just be with me as I get ready to go to the next presentation of the word here. The first one is the Logos. Now, after in the beginning was the Word, the second is, and the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us flesh creatures, and we beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That which manifests God became flesh. That which revealed God became flesh. In the beginning, God's thought created, and the thought of God became flesh. And now we are able to see the Logos. When it was in the mind of God, oh, I may go places that I didn't know that I was going to go today. When it was just his thought. And you know, just let me digress a little bit. You know, a lot of you all thought you just arrived in the 1950s or the 1940s or the 1960s, 70s. Even you think you just got here 16, 17 years ago. I got to let you know that before, the very creation of the world, you were already in the same canyons that God existed in his deity, in his existence. You were in the mind of God. Y'all hear me? Yes, and this is what happens now. God has to reveal himself to what he creates. And now we are able to see the thought of God. You don't know that I am just empowered, oh my God, and I am enamored with the energy that comes from God. To know that sometimes when I see situations that seem to be spiraling out of control, that God gives me a certain peace to let me know that you're not experiencing any deja vu. You're not undergoing some damaging type of a situation where what you're going through, there is no control of it. But the reason that it seems so familiar to it is because before you got here, oh my God, I had already gone down through the archives of time. We've already been this way before. That's what God is trying to tell me. There is no situation that is beyond me, no situation that is greater than I am. Before I got here, I was already here. Before we arrived here, I had already brought you through this. That which he manifests, God manifests, became flesh. And now we are able to see the Logos in a panoply of flesh. When you see me, you have seen the thought of God. Now, you've got to get this here. Notice he was not made flesh. I like this now. But the text says he became flesh. If he were made flesh, that would make him too passive. Like a Mercedes. You make a Mercedes. Like a Bentley. You make a Bentley. It's fine. It's luxurious. But it's extremely passive because it's made. But he became flesh,
meaning that he is everything but passive. He is active. In other words, let me put it this way. God said, I became flesh, which is to say to me and to say to you that I control the process of manifestation. I became flesh. Nobody makes me, but I cause myself to become. God is saying to you, I want to come into your situation, and I want to reveal myself in your situation, but you cannot create your own situation for me to come into. If I'm going to reveal myself, then I'm going to cause it to become. Yes, I must be the one by my spirit. This is what God is telling somebody today. And I sense in my spirit that somebody is grabbing a hold to this right now. Somebody somewhere is just eating this like a bread that falls from heaven, a manna with a sweet tasting savor. I feel like somebody right now is tasting of the Lord to see that he is good. Oh my God, that he is great and his mercy is everlasting. I want to be the one to tell you today that God is telling you by my spirit, not only have I created you to manifest myself, but I must also create the situation in which I manifest myself. So when you get a word from God, you get God. Somebody say amen where you are. When you get a word from God, you get God, because you cannot separate God from his word, and you cannot have God apart from his word. If you get a word from God, then you ought to go ahead and declare, I've got God in my situation. When you get God's word and his word comes out of his mouth, that is God stepping into your circumstance and he's turning things around so that it works in your favor. Now I declare that all things are working together for the good. That's why what's going on in my life, that's what's going on in your life. God is getting ready to show you some new things. He's getting ready to show you that you things that you would have never known before. Yes, unless God created the very situation, then you would have never received him revealing himself to you. I don't care today what you're going through. I want you to know that because that John declared unto us, in the beginning was the word, there is no circumstance. No, there is no situation that God is not abreast of, that you are or could ever go through, because he is the very spirit present in every situation. And there is no situation that can just present itself out of just the blue. But God is in control of everything. One day, the Bible says that when the sons of God came together on behalf of God's servant Job, that Satan decided that he was going to make his debut. And when he got there, he humbled himself before the great Logos, and he said, Lord, what about your servant Job? I'd like to give him a run for his money. Look at it now. No situation in Job's life, y'all can hear that I'm feeling this now. I don't have the luxury of an audience. I don't have the support of an organist. But what I have is I hear heaven telling Don, preach, boy. And I see now that Job in his situation that the devil had to get God's permission in order to go through the process. So this says to me again that if there's going to be a situation, then God has to create it. So he said unto Satan that day, he said, have you considered my servant Job? Mm-hmm. And this is what the devil said. You know, Lord, very well that you've got a hedge around Job. And that's how I feel sometimes. Oh, God, when all hell breaks loose. What should happen to Don sometime? It just cannot happen the way that it would come out because God hath a hedge around me. And that hedge is his word that says you can go so far. But that's where things stop right there. And I need somebody to hear me today. And I'm gone now. It's over now. It's been good being here. But I don't care what you're going through. This story about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lets me know that there are some situations that seems extreme, even unto death. And you feel as though, God, if you love me, then why did death happen? But God wanted you to know that my servant Lazarus is dead. Oh, shucks, y'all. And I am glad because I am the resurrection. So that's why Jesus in this situation stepped in as a mighty word. Y'all don't hear it now. And he didn't have to say, oh, God, but just three words. And they were, Lazarus, oh, shucks, come forth, oh Lord. And that's what God is saying to you today. In the midst of all of our uncertainty, God is telling you, come forth. Oh, Lord. God is telling you today that no matter what you're going through, no matter, oh God, what betides you? God is saying, if I am for you, I'm more than the whole world against you. Oh, y'all, finally fare you well, and I hope to see y'all next Sunday. But all through the week, you ought to declare these words. I've got a word. I've got a word from the Lord, and there ain't nothing that can stop me now. All through the archives of history and biblical history, God would create a situation, and then he become the revelation. Y'all don't hear me. To Abraham, the situation was, and the revelation was, I am Jehovah Jireh. Y'all don't hear me. Oh, yes. Shucks. Oh, yes. God is. He is. He is. He is. He is a word in your situation. He is the word in your situation. He is the power of himself in your situation. You have the Spirit of God that makes himself the very essence of every thought. And the war that we fight is simply in our mind to get past the thought that we think. his thoughts, they're not our thoughts. And his ways are not our ways. It's so much greater. And I couldn't help but to. And this is sometimes challenging to me and for me to condense this and make it so concise so that the presentation is within the restraints of some time parameters. And there's nothing that was left out today, but we didn't even suggest the incarnate, or I may mention, but the Word of God, the very thought, the very Spirit of God that has the creative power to make me and then present himself to me in every situation. God deals with me right there every day in the ordinariness of life. Situations that seem sometimes so strange and so foreign. Like, why are we going through this? Why is all of this happening? Why is there such a widespread pandemic? Why are we doing this? And we're going through this as though God has lost his power, his authority, and most of all, his love for us. You are to this text to feel like Mary, like you want to meet him on the way, like you want to just come out and you want to just tell Jesus, come outside, I need to have a talk with you, because I've lost some loved ones, I've lost some family, I've lost some friends. But Jesus wants you to know that I haven't lost control of the process, and that is our responsibility. As our commitment to the very salvation that we claim is to never forget, is to tell anybody at any time that God has total control and that he has a word for your situation. And I'm declaring today over somebody that's listening to this, and I think that there are some options. If you're listening to this and you're unsaved, you don't have to be in this building. You can just click it right now, and there are some hosts that are there that is in that platform and in that environment to pray with you. If you want prayer, you can click it, and there are ministers that are standing by to pray with you right now. And I know it's going to be virtual, but just to know that I reached out and I touched someone. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. The fervent and the righteous prayers. And I'm believing today that if you have the desire to want it, that God has the ability to give it. Not only does God have the ability, but God is also willing to do it for you today. And if you're unsaved, I want to encourage you, be saved. I cannot have a platform, I cannot have a presentation to declare something and then not open up the opportunity for somebody that is there, that is hearing, upon whose ears this is resting upon. You've got to hear it and know it, that you have an opportunity right now to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. You go ahead and click those buttons now. It doesn't matter who's on the other end. Just go ahead and just let them know that I want prayer. Click that I'm asking for prayer. I'm asking you to give me prayer. As some of my team helped me with some soft music in the background as we take these last few moments now to just let the Spirit of Christ just slowly work on all of those that are viewing, all of those that have joined together with us. I look forward to seeing you next week as you're going ahead, exercising the right to reach out to someone and pray. Maybe you want to just send a prayer. And we're not praying just for our area. We're praying for the entire globe. Praying for everyone, everywhere, regardless the race, the creed, the colors, nationality. We're just praying, and we're reaching out, and we're believing today that someone is truly touched. Share this channel. Share this venue. If you don't know how, contact us. Ask us how. Let us figure it out. Let's stay connected in disconnected times. Let's don't fail to be here
I'm so excited to have you here. I'm so excited that you are here. I hope that those prayers are just going forth right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus right now.